University is a different thing. That time they're grown. But high school? You must be mad. I used to instill it in Karen every day. Don't put man on your head. Put your books. I used to remind her that Claudia DeMicardo and those fair-skinned girls she knew from school don't have to pass no exam to get ahead in life. As soon as they finish school, their parents giving them job in a business. And even if they do start from the bottom in 2 2s, they reach the top, regardless of qualification. I told Karen, they're not like me and you. People like me and you must have a profession. But at the time, she didn't want to listen to me. She wanted to follow fashion. She wanted to act like she was carefree, as if she didn't know is me alone she have to make everything work for her, and that if I slip, she slide. She wanted to rebel. You know, I had to wait for Karen for an hour. You hear me? An hour. I kept saying, Lord Jesus, I wonder if something happened to Claudia and Karen, because I couldn't believe that Karen would do that to me when she know I only have my lunch time. And it's not like now when you have cell phone and can call people and say you're running late. In those days, if you're late, you're just late. And by the time you get to where you were supposed to be, everybody face done makeup already, and everybody jumped to their own conclusion. So it don't even make no sense to try explain. So in my distress now, I put on my forehead on the steering wheel and my mind just drift away. Then all of a sudden, Roger touched me on my back and say, Mommy, 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 see Karen there? When I look up, I saw her running fast across the hockey field with her short, plump self, her blue skirt and cream blouse dark with sweat. I don't know where the blue tie was. She must be taking it off. Claudia was right behind. When did the Mercado gal see me now? She slip off one side and leave her friend to come and talk to me alone. Now, what kind of true friend is that? I said to Karen, you don't consider me? I said it so softly I could hardly hear myself. The tree was next to some tennis courts, which was right beside another court where some girls was playing netball. And anywhere you go, netball girls always loud. She didn't answer, so I asked her again and raised my voice a bit. Same time now, the girl I asked for Karen when I just drive up, come up to my window and say, oh, you finer. Then before I could answer, she asked a question, but it really was a comment. You're Karen's mommy's friend? I said, no, I'm Karen's mother. She squint her eye and look at me. Then she put her head into the car a little bit, take a look at the boys. Oh, then she gone. I knew what she was thinking, how I could be their mother and be dark like this. Well, the answer is that their father was a red man. He looked like a Puerto Rican in his features, but he had brown hair and hazel eyes. In just color alone, in certain light, you could make mistake and call him white. And you know something? That's the only thing he ever give those children, a fair complexion to make things a little easier for them in life. Anyway, when the girl left, I said to Karen, Mrs., beg you just get in the car. And you know what she said? When are you going to get off my back? Why are you always harassing me? I'm like a prisoner. I can't go anywhere, no matter what I do, no matter what I say. I can't be right. Just leave me alone, mommy. Just leave me alone, man. Just left me, mommy. Just left me. You think I don't know why you're going on like this? It's because you see me with Claudia and you don't like her. Why are you always going on like she do something? Is what she do to you, mommy? Is what she do so? Well, you know what? I don't even care because Claudia is my friend, right? Claudia is my friend, but you just don't want me to have any friends. I don't know why. I don't know why. Well, she's my friend, mommy. She's my friend. You see it there? She's my friend, and you better believe that dirt. And as a matter of fact, I don't care what or anybody else have to say. Claudia is my friend. Claudia is my friend. And who don't like it, bite it. I didn't say anything. I couldn't say anything. I don't even know if I did want to say anything. Perhaps if I did say anything, I would just sound like a fool. She got in the car and slammed the door. I had turned off the engine to save gas. So when the shame took me and I tried to leave, the car couldn't move off. Pure confusion took me. I confused so till I forget which way the key supposed to turn. You see my distress? While I was fumbling with the key, every now and then I take a glimpse through the window at the girls under the tree, and I see them watching me with their fair skin self. They're acting like they're not looking, you know. But every time they see me look, they cover their mouth like they're eating banana chips or act like they're tired and cover their mouth like they're going to yawn. But they never cover their eyes, though. And when I look at them, I see pure laughing. Some of them was even running water. So on the way home now, and Karen is sitting in the front seat, and she just can't keep still. She have her school bag in her lap, and she hugging it up like it's her boyfriend, or like she have something in there to hide. And so she moving, so she snorting. You'd think she was a bull, bouncing back against the seat, bracing her shoulders on the car door to get away from me, sweating, trembling, breathing hard. To tell you the truth, that's normally the kind of thing I would just box her for. Before she had done one or two little rude things, back answering was the like. And sometimes I used to have to give her a box for that. But this kind of bad behavior she was showing now was just a different type. I had to drive on Constant Spring Road by the plazas to get home. It wasn't a one-way then. And as I drove, I heard a voice saying in my head, "You can't make children rule you, you know, and if you don't control them, they will break away. And when they break away, you can't always catch them back. That's when they end up worthless." Listen to me. When a boy end up worthless is bad, but not too bad. But when a girl end up worthless is a different thing. You can talk what you want, talk about equality. But some things you have to accept that is just so life go. Let me ask you something. If a girl wastes her time and end up leaving school without any skill or education or any way of getting ahead, let's say a job with prospects or acceptance to a college, and let's say all her friends from school move on, you think that girl going to feel good about herself? She might seem happy-go-lucky, and her face might have always a smile, but something else going on inside. When a girl begin to feel worthless, it's easy thing for her to start act like she worthless in truth. She start to lose her confidence. She start to need attention, especially from men. And this make her start to dress and act a certain way. And when that happen, men just start to take advantage, start to fill up her head with lie, cause they know from experience what she want to hear. You see, when that happen, before you know it, the girl start bouncing around the place, and she might even feel as if she having a lot of fun. But to them, she's just a mattress, a place where they lie down and get relief. And from that, it's just a matter of time before she breed the bastard children start to come with more than one last name. Of course, no, she can't mind them on her own, so she need to mind them for support. And you think they're going to give her support unless she give them back something? And if you give your body for money, you is what? So all along the way, Karen is going on like how I tell you, with her bad bull self. And even with what the voice was saying, I couldn't find the strength to discipline that child. Because let me tell you, I'm the kind of mother who will discipline a child anywhere, anytime. I don't like to do it, but if I have to, I will. If I give you the look and you act like you don't see it, then I sneak up on you and give you the pinch. And if the pinch can't stop you, you're getting something hot on your behind. Who don't hear must feel. But looking back at it now, I'm not even sure if it's strength I didn't have. I think I was just confused. I was just in disbelief. I never thought my daughter had it in her heart to talk to me that way. When we get home, she come out of the car, and instead of opening the gate so I could drive in, she opened it just enough so she can walk through by herself. So Roger jump out quick time and open out both sides. To tell you the truth, until that happened, I didn't even remember that the boys were in the car. They were so silent. I wasn't even sure who was driving home, who was really at the wheel, because it wasn't me. If it was me then, it was only partly me, because I didn't feel as if the whole of me was there. I left the children with the help of Miss Nutty and spin round same time to go back to work. When Miss Nutty was closing the gate, I saw Mrs. Lee Yu watering her lawn across the street. And I remembered to ask her to make an appointment with her husband about Roger's eyes. I couldn't concentrate when I got back to work. Luckily for me, it was the middle of the month, so the work wasn't heavy that day. There were 28 of us in the office. Most of the others used to work in an open area with nothing to part the desk. A smaller set used to work in twos and threes in some little office separate with glass sheets, but they didn't have a door. Only me and Mr. Parnell had an office with a door. He needed one because he didn't have a manager. He used to run the place himself. At around 4 o'clock, the office maid came into my office and asked if everything was okay. Miss Minto was her name. From she see me lock the door, she know something wasn't right, because I wasn't the sort of person used to lock up myself. Anybody could come inside my office any time. Same thing at Macy's today. Cicely, she miss open door. So anyway, when Miss Minto asked me how I was, I told her everything was fine, but I was begging her for a cup of tea. Although I can't take the smell of cigarettes nowadays, I used to smoke a lot that time. It started when my husband used to come home drunk at Dennery Road and mess up himself, sometimes a soldier uniform too. And I used to have to strip him off and clean him like a baby. I used to smoke to kill the smell. When Miss Minto bring the tea, I went and stand up by my window, which was right between two big bookcases. I had a ceiling fan in the office, but I couldn't turn it up because it would blow all the papers around the place, and I couldn't open the windows fully because the sea breeze would be worse. So the office was hot and had a salt and dye and leather smell. I start to daydream now. It's so long ago I can't remember what exactly was on my mind. And then my eyes drop on the parking lot below me, and I saw the spot where I approached Mr. Parnell years before. I see my car, which used to be his car. I had every reason to feel proud of myself, but all I feel was shame. After a while, I put my forehead in the window, then ease round and lean up with my back against the bookcase. I used to like collecting pretty calendars, and I had one from China on the wall. It was one of those that was a big poster with the months in a pad on the bottom, and when you finish a month, you just tear it off. That a pretty girl on the poster part, and she had a pretty fan. I used to always like to look at her. I don't know why. Maybe it was just because she was used to look attractive. There are some people whose personality just shine in the way they smile, and even when you see them in a picture, you can know they're nice. And she was one of them. So sometimes when I was feeling down or something, I would smile and look at her, my little China friend. So anyway, I get tired of looking at her. And to be frank, she wasn't doing anything to ease my mind. And I find myself looking through the window again, smoking up the glass. Every time I blow, everything get cloudy and I feel like I could hide away. Then the smoke get thin again. And the ashes, I just keep dropping them on Miss Minto's floor. We used to say the floors belonged to her because it was she who used to go down on her knee and take the coconut brush and clean them once a week. All we used to do was tramp on them. They used to say the office people used to walk and stomp because we never used to have to buy no shoes, for Mr. Parnell used to give us half a dozen pair every year. Anyway, as I was thinking of Miss Minto and our floor, it's like something come to light. I realized what was bothering me. Yes. It had to do with Karen, of course, and her behavior, but the thing itself was depressing me was how she talked to me, like how most people talk to their maid. It's like she feel like she could talk to me anyhow and nothing wouldn't come out of it because I didn't have any status in life. Like I'm just this little dark girl who is right where she start out and don't reach nowhere. Like I'm not good enough to be her mother. As I start to think of this, I start to notice my reflection now. I could see it when I did a little thing with my eye. In those days, I used to part my hair in the middle and flip it up like Doris Day, but it was hard to manage, you see. I had to press it every Friday evening. If I miss a Friday, it would get coarse and unruly and all the straightening would come out. I look at my cheeks and they look so hard, so, what's the word again? Pronounced. Even though I dab a little rouge on them. They look so unladylike, so tough. Then I begin to examine my nose. For all the times I used to clamp on it, it was still the same, spread out like van run over it, or a big truck lick it down. And the blue eyeshadow, it only advertised how I was black. Jesus Christ, I thought. You know you're really, really black? Why you bother even try with makeup base? That kind of black can't hide. You black like doctor never take you from your mother belly, like him grab you from a clinic that was burning down. And when I take in all of this, you tell me what I could do but cry. So that is what I did. I smoke my Benson in my brown skirt suit and think about my daughter. Then I look at myself and cry. Later that evening, when I was working at the Pegasus, Roger called to sweep me up. Poor little heart. When the switchboard put him through, he told me that he needed me to help him with some homework for his English class. Now, Roger don't call me at work unless it's something important, and even him never need me to help him with his homework. Yet, because Andrew was always there to help, plus, on top of that, he was extremely bright. Passed his exams for high school from grade 4, when most kids took it in grade 6. And in any case, most of them who took it didn't pass. Karen was one of them. She took it 3 times in a row and failed. So I asked him, what's the composition about? Well, Mommy, my teacher asked me to write a composition on a work of art. Lord, so now we have to go to National Gallery? No, Mommy, because I selected you. You want to hear what I put in there already? I start to smile now. Yes. And then my bubble bursts. He said, my mother is a most resplendent example of God's imagination. He made her more beautiful than all the creatures. My mother's beauty is special. Do you want to know why it is special? Most people's beauty is on the outside, but that kind of beauty is only skin deep and will not last forever. My mother's beauty is of the permanent type. Her beauty is on the inside, and that is the kind of beauty that will always last. How does that sound so far? I said, oh, my little husband, that was so nice. You say all those nice things about me. You make me feel so good, Pops. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mommy. I start to cry again. When I left there, no one in the office knew that anything was wrong, for I'm a woman like this. I don't show weakness. Everything could be wrong with me, but you'd never know. It was 9 o'clock when I get home. Roger was in his room finishing off his homework, lying across the bed with a dozen model planes hanging from the ceiling like they're going to bomb him. Fright took him when he saw me, because I usually come home after midnight, and on top of that, he didn't hear me when I come in. What happened is that I was driving up the road, a voice just told me to leave the car outside and walk round the side to get a better understanding of what's really going on. So instead of bringing the car into the carport and opening the front door from the veranda, I came in off the back porch where we used to store old things, and Miss Noddy used to wash and press the clothes. How you come home so early, Mommy? I put my fingers to my lips to make him quiet down. Where is Miss Noddy? I asked. She gone to church. She soon come back. Where's Andrew? Over by the Liu's. Bobby taking him up with Econ. How come I don't hear your sister? Roger push up him glasses on him nose and say, she's in the living room, I think. I sat down on the bed beside him. Roger, beg you tell me, what she do since she come home? Him start to him and her. Well, I don't know, Mommy, because I was doing my homework in my room. I ate my dinner at the table, but I did my homework in my room. So maybe you have to go and see for yourself. I see. I kiss him on the cheek. You finish your composition, Pops? Oh, yes, Mommy. Thank you very much for the help. Ah, Pops, life is not easy thing, you know. So I'm walking down the corridor now. The house had 3 bedrooms on each side, with the living room, dining, and kitchen in the middle, going down from front to the back. So you come off the front veranda, you're right in the living room. Each side had its own bathroom. If you count Miss Noddy's bathroom off the porch around the back, then call it 3. My room was in the front, on the right-hand side. From the front door, I had to pass through the living room and a heavy curtain to a passageway to reach it. As I was going into my room, I glimpsed Karen through a crack in the drapes. She was in the living room, still in her uniform, playing the radio, the record changer, and the TV at the same time, like we have money to waste. Like the DeMicardo is my last name. Now, I don't know about you, but there is certain things that can happen in most West Indian house, and mine is one of them. 1, you can't gallivant in your school uniform. As soon as you come home, you're supposed to take it off. That is something you're supposed to respect and revere. That is not something you just wear around the place like that in disgrace. Plus, they are expensive. When you start to drudge them out, before you know it, they start to rip up here and there, and things start to stain them up. So when this happened, how are you going to go to school in the morning like you're supposed to be, neat and clean? And you better go to school neat and clean in the morning. If you go to school untidy, it means neither you or your parents have any pride or ambition. And let me tell you, if you don't have pride or ambition, you ain't getting nowhere in this thing named life. You have to reach beyond the span of your arm. 2, you can't watch TV before your homework done. School is your vocation as a child, so you can't put fun before your studies. I hear these children nowadays complaining that school ain't fun. Well, it ain't supposed to be fun. It's like medicine. It ain't supposed to taste nice. God gave man the brains to make medicine for cures, and education is medicine to counteract the idleness that grows like mold on top of your brain. If you don't counteract it daily, you'll be sick with idleness and sloth all your life. When you finish your homework and your studies, you can do whatever you want to do, within reason. I like my little TV, too. I like to watch this English fellow Simon on that show where the people try to sing and become a star. He's the man that don't put up with no foolishness. That's a man who tell you straight. So some people in my department call me so behind my back, you know, Simon. But you think I care? Who you think decide their bonus every year? 3. You can't have 3 big appliances at once, especially when it's things for enjoyment and not for work. Electric current isn't cheap, so when you're watching one show on the TV and listening to another show on the radio and playing music on the record change at the same time, you're just being wasteful and greedy. You can't even enjoy 3 of them same time. So even if you could enjoy them, what you could absorb? To even think about that is idle. As you know, the devil finds work for idle hands. I went into the bathroom to bathe, but I changed my mind. The water was running and everything, but I changed my mind and turned it off. I just went into my room and lay down. I didn't even turn on the light. I just lay down in the dark. I started to roll from side to side to twist myself out of my clothes. I was so down, I couldn't even bring myself to sit up. To tell you the truth, I never even care about neatness. As I take off the clothes, I just fling them down. When I scatter them now, I just lie down plain in my panty and brassiere, just listening to everything going on. A little drizzle had come down earlier, and the rain smell was coming through the louvers from the flower beds. Every now and then, a bus passed by. But what I mostly heard was cars. Somebody's dog just wouldn't stop barking, just arr. The crickets were going, and the tree frogs, too. When they start, you know, it's like a video game. But the loudest thing to me were in the living room. I could also hear the shower crackling like fire. You'd think it was a flame. The radio was playing reggae music. I never used to listen to it, so I couldn't tell you what group. To me, every song used to sound like bugudu, 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 bugudu. So I couldn't bother with it. And I didn't like that radio announcer, a fellow by the name of Errol Thompson, who used to make a lot of noise with this stupid rubber ducky. I hear he used to smoke a lot of weed. I could follow what was on the TV, too. She was watching this Burt Reynolds show, Dan August. To me, the show was stupid. Whenever Burt Reynolds chasing down a criminal, the same thing happened every time. Him going to run upstairs or climb on something high and dive on the criminal back like Tarzan. But the worst thing, though, was that she was using the record changer to play out my Al Green. Now, I don't know about you, but my records is my records. I know it's CD time now, but still, the children know I didn't like them to play my records because just like how they didn't like to full back the ice tray, they didn't like to put back my LPs in the case. It's either they don't put them back or mix them up. But something always have to go on. One time, I find a Curtis Mayfield and an Engelbert Humperdinck forced up in a jacket for the student prince. What could Curtis Mayfield and Engelbert Humperdinck have to do with the student prince? And I won't even tell you what they did to my Mantovani's. Let me tell you, to this day, I love my Mantovani. If I don't play a Strauss waltz every couple of days, it's like I don't feel too good. But anyway, I really wanted to say something to Karen when I was lying down, but I didn't know where to begin. Because you know what? I began to feel a little rage. You know why? I stay in the bed and hear Roger go to her and ask her if she did her homework. The way he was asking her, you could tell he was trying to warn her or make her come to her senses. Hint her a little bit, you know. Give her some help. That is what I pick from it. And you know what she said to him? Ungrateful little wretch. You little infirm, are you? What? Your mother call you from work and send you to spy? Well, I don't do any homework, you hear? I don't do any. And you better move out of my way before I thump you. Don't I told you and Andrew not to come out here? But, Mommy... Roger, you must be think afraid for Cicely Thompson. She like to go on like she bad, but I don't afraid for her. Karen, what happened? You going ring out my name? But Karen, Mommy, you don't hear I say I must leave me alone. You want a thump? I'm going to tell Mommy. Yes, 008. Tell your mama when she come home tonight. I hear when Roger walk off and come like he was coming to my room door, but for some reason him turn back. And in my mind, I see when Karen cut her hazel eyes and use her hand and flick back the light brown hair I used to wash and condition every week because it was too long for her to manage. Before I authorized her to cut it to her shoulder, it was tall, way down her back. I stay in the room and call to her. Karen. She didn't answer me, so I sat up in the bed and call her name again, this time with a question sign. Karen? For I was trying to ask her if she forgotten herself. At the same time, I was trying to ask myself if the person outside was really and truly the first child I bring into this world or an alien. Because the way the anger had me trembling, whatever it was out there, whether it come from my womb or not, I was ready to take its life. A voice inside my head was telling me to take the bedside lamp and go out there, that I shouldn't even bother to put on a robe, to just march out there in my panty and brassiere and take the lamp and bust her head. Just kill it. But thanks be to Jesus, God stayed in heaven and stretched forth his hand and take the thought away from me. That's all I can say. God stopped me. Because I know my daughter heard me. Because I know my voice. And I know that house. And I know that child. So although the radio was playing and the TV was on and the record changer too, I know for sure that child heard my voice in that house. But the damn gal was feeling so powerful after she put me down in front of her friends that she thought she was on top of the world, like she was some kind of, you know, royalty, like she could do anything she want without considering the price. A piece of heavy breathing took me in the bed, you see, and the room started to feel like it was closing up, and my head started to beat like somebody put a speaker box inside it like a car. And I quick time put on a duster and run down to Roger's room and ask him to go over next door to Mrs. James, who was a pharmacist, and get a Valium for me. When Roger gone, I went out on the back porch to get some fresh air. Karen heard me in my panic. She had to, but she didn't come out to see what was wrong. When Roger came back, I told him to use a razor blade and cut the 10 milligram in two and give me half. Then I sent him to make some green tea for me. After that, I turn off the light and sit down in the dark. When I take the pill and drink the tea, no, I say to him, Pops, I'm going to tell you something, and I hope you will remember it when you grow up. The parents who do the most get the least thanks. I've done everything a mother can do to make that girl happy, to make that girl's life a success, but she hate me like I do or something. Mommy, she don't hate you. That's not true. I say, when she took her exam to go to high school, she took it 3 times and never passed. Now, if I was like most other mothers, I would make her go to a junior secondary school or a technical school, which you know is where you go when you fail. But I couldn't make her feel shame like that. I know she had it hard when me and Daddy didn't work out. Then shortly after that, God took him away. She was the oldest and she remembered him the most, and she was very close to him. So she feel it more than you and Andrew. You two were small. I didn't want to give you children a broken home. Roger, I didn't want that at all. As there's a God, I didn't want to do that to you. But what I was supposed to do? Stay with the man and make him carry we down? No, Mommy. I say, you know how many nights I clean piss and shit off the floor down at Dennery Road, Pops? You know it's from cleaning shit and piss why I start to smoke. You know when Karen failed her last chance to pass her exams, I drive round to every single high school in Kingston that take girls and beg the principal to take her. You know I tell all those principals it's my fault why she never passed the exams because I was the one to leave the marriage and break up the home and that is why she couldn't concentrate. No, Mommy. I say, Pops, You know how many times I tell your father to come look for your children, and him promised me him was coming and never come? You know how many times, Pops? You know how many times? Pops, you think I like working two jobs? No, Mommy. I hate it down to the ground. But it's what I have to do to make my life for you children, so you come out better than me. I can't believe your sister denounced me like that in front of our friends. Pops, after everything I've done, the parents who do the most get the least thanks. Pops, you love me? He said, yes, Mommy, and came and hugged me up. I said, Pops, you think your mother pretty? He said, yes, Mommy, of course. I said, inside and out? He said, and upstairs and downstairs, too. But he didn't tell me yes. Years later, sometime after his first book come out, Pops and I was talking about what happened that night. By the time he was in his 30s, he was teaching English at UCLA. I had gone to visit him just to see what was going on. When I let him know how much I needed him to tell me I was pretty, Pops said he couldn't understand it at all because he used to think I was a gorgeous girl, so gorgeous that he used to be in love with me when he was small. Now, I could have said to him, well, how come none of your girlfriends ever look like me yet? How come it's pure fair-skinned girl with long hair you like? But I didn't want to make him feel bad. What would be the point? He was doing his best to butter me up, so why try to catch him in a lie? But that night, though, out on the back porch, let me tell you, that little darling really helped to calm his mother's nerves. Yes, I had my tea and Valium, but they were not enough. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Don't make ghosts fool you. Nothing can lift you like the love of a child. Any child, but especially a child who's yours. I had two in that house, but only one was showing me any kind of love. I'll be the first to tell you I was defeated, that I found myself in a situation where what Karen thought of me was the thing that mattered most in life. If at that moment she'd come to me and told me she wanted to spend the rest of her life up at Claudia, I'd felt that it would make her come and tell me that she loved me, and she not shame of me. I would drive her up to Claudia myself. And if she say she was going up there to live for the rest of her life, I would crawl on my knee and beg her not to go. I'd tell her to stay, and I'd let her do all she like. I'm not ashamed to say it now. That is how I felt. No lie. And let me tell you, if that girl had used her common sense or even humble herself a wee, I might have been her slave for life. For let me tell you, when your child has you in the kind of position like Karen had me, you're her slave for life, like that woman I saw today in Duane Reed. And whatever they want to do, they do. And whatever they don't want to do, they don't do. And if they turn out good in the end, they'll say it was in spite of you. And if they turn out bad, well, of course, it was because of you. And which way you turn, you lose. Pops went to bed around 10 o'clock. I heard his brother come in through the front door at 10:30. He said hello to his sister two times. She didn't answer him at all. All the time I could hear her moving through the house, going to the pantry, the fridge. Then at 11 o'clock, I hear when everything in the living room just one by one shut down. I call out softly, Karen? She didn't answer, so I call again. This time my voice was louder, but even more loving in tone. Who says I didn't try? You know what Karen do? She slammed the bathroom door. And before she slammed the door, I hear some teeth get suck. I didn't want the boys to know I was crying, so I walked down by the back fence. You want to see me feeling in the dark, for if you move too fast and the clothesline catch you, head gone clean one time. So I feel until I find the stand where we used to bleach the clothes. And I drop my face into my hands and bawl. You'd think somebody dead or I just got a telegram that I lose my job. I don't remember how long I was bawling, but it was a good amount of time, and it's while I was bawling that she made her big mistake. At first I didn't hear it, then I hear it, but I didn't know is what. Then I figure out is what, but I couldn't believe that what it was is what I hear. My fellow classmates and professor, I could hear it just as you can hear me now. Clear, 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 clear. But let me tell you, when I really decide for true that I was hearing what I hear, I cock my head and listen it good to be more sure again. And when I think of what Karen was doing and how what she was doing indicate where she was going to go, going to end up down the line, a spirit rise inside me and a voice said, and when I say, I mean say, like how I'm saying this to you here and now. You better get off your ass and go in that house and do what you have to do. Otherwise, you're going to lose that child. Don't care if she hates you. Don't care if she never talked to you for the rest of your life. Don't care if she even go as far as change her name so nobody won't know she's your blood. Go in there and do what you have to do. You can't make this pass. You can't make this pass. You can't make this pass at all. You know what the girl was doing? You know what the girl was doing? Who in here this evening can stretch their mind far enough to imagine what this girl was doing now on top of everything she already did that day? She was singing in the shower on the top of her voice like his prostitute she named. And you know what she was singing? Guess and tell me. Go into the furthest part of your mind where you put down ideas that don't have no use and things that just don't make no sense. The little wretch was singing Born Free. What kind of idiot she think I was? Because I never finished school, she think that would pass me just so? She think I don't know sarcasm and irony? She think I wouldn't get the point? Jesus Christ! As I start to walk up to the house now, leaves crunching under me like gravel, and I get a mind to bust her ass with everything I touch. The pole that hold up the clothesline, a piece of switch from off a bush, even down to the little floppy belt on my duster. One time I grab for the rake. When I step up on the back porch, I turn on the light and see Miss Nutty iron in the corner by the iron board, and a palm of it for the cord. But the body was too heavy to maneuver, so I put it back. And Jesus Lord, the closer I get, naturally the louder she sound. And all I can think is, if I lose her, then the odds is that I'll lose her brothers, for she's the oldest, and all this rest of foolishness is going wrong. And if she turn worthless, them going turn worthless too. Singing in the shower like a damn prostitute, what? She crazy? Or is she bad, she thinks she bad? In truth, that gal did think she bad, singing in the shower like a damn prostitute. And worse, she was doing it for spite. It had to be spite. It had to be spite because I never ever hear my daughter do a thing like that before. Never in my life. Never in hers. Because she know my rules. But it's not only the rules. She know how a thing like that would make me feel. Like a mother who don't train her children right. When I step in off the porch, I kick off my slippers by the door. I didn't want the wretch to hear me coming through the house. It's like I was James Bond or Emma Peel. I go inside the kitchen. Nobody don't hear me make a sound. And I start to search around. How come when you really want a thing, you can never just find it yet? It took a while, but eventually I find the kind of thing I had to use. I took my time and passed the rooms, barefoot on the cool gray tiles. Everything turned off except the bathroom light. Sometimes I stop and listen to make sure she didn't hear me. Then I walk again. I could hear the boys snoring a bit. Good, they were asleep. It's me and she alone. When I pushed the bathroom door open, the little bugger was so caught up in herself she never hear me. Nothing registered to her at all. No change in light, no new shadow, no little something in the air. How you could be in a small bathroom with hot water running and somebody open the door and you don't sense a little something in the air? You know how? When you feel like nothing can happen to you because you're the ruler of the world. Believe you me, I stood up there with the extension cord in my hand for about 5 minutes, and she didn't see me. It was an old brown one that was supposed to throw away because the end of it was frazzled out. Well, good, because now it was a little cat o' nine. I listened to the singing. I watched her shadow through the blue curtain. I could hear the rag slop-slopping as she soap up herself, which means the licks going soak. How she never see me? Perhaps her eyes was closed. And the more soap she's soaping, the more sing she's singing, and the more loud she's getting loud. No, it wasn't just me. The more loud she's singing, she's getting louder. The more start to stress the words, born free. She was chanting. Then after a while, she slow it down and start to overemphasize each word until it don't sound like a song no more, but like a political speech. So what a joy it was when I draw the curtain. Boom! And she look at me and couldn't talk. She wanted to scream, but she couldn't scream. She opened her mouth and cringed, but the scream wouldn't come out. Like it frightened her too. Like it get a glimpse of what was going to come. And I look at her, you know, and I see how she nice and plump and soapy. And I start to imagine all the sound strokes going mick and marks they're going leave. I size up all the juicy parts, then I start to beat. I brace one foot on the tub, you see, and I grab the shower curtain rail. And when I sure I have an anchor now, I start to put it on. I beat that wretch so much. That one time she slip in the tub and I jump in there with her. And although the water soaking me and wetting up the floor, and what she do? She kicked me and used dirt word and said she hate me. And it's that time now I really put it on. The boys hear the noise, of course, and come to watch. And before she plead with me to stop or apologize, Karen start to tell the boys to go away. Stop watching me. I'm naked. Mommy, they're watching me naked. Tell them I'm too old for them to look at me. Tell them to leave me alone. But when she say that now, I put it on some more. And as I paint her body red, I look at her and say, you think is woman in this place? What? You think is you woman, eh? Spuddy, what you have to say? What you have to hide? Whop! Your brother? Whack! And sister? Vop! Same mother? Zip! Same father? Vom! And further? Whop! And further? Whop! And further? Whop! You're a child! Sk! You're a child! Watch your pie! You're a child! Pie! You're still in school! You're still in school! And you take this for... You think you're a woman in this place? Well, pop, 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 pie. Finally, she said, sorry, mommy, sorry. I won't pass my place again. I'm going to be honest with you. While I was beating her, I began to feel a little guilty, but not too much, because I had this conviction that what I was doing was right, because I knew. And even she told me more than once years later that I was saving her life. You know, when she gone after that afternoon, I had to wait for her for an hour outside our school, not to the shopping plazas. Years later, she confessed to an apartment with an older guy. Claudia was fooling around with this fella. I forget his name. He used to own a club in New Kingston near the Pegasus Hotel. And Claudia inveigled Karen to go with her to meet him on a side street near the school. And up in his apartment, she saw him take a spoon he used to wear on a chain around his neck to give Claudia cocaine. I was so naive about certain things, I didn't even know they had cocaine in Jamaica those times. After Claudia snorted now, the fellow took her in the bedroom and started to use her as a mattress. And poor Karen was so nervous, she started to beat down on the door until the fellow opened it. And she see Claudia naked on the bed. She ran back to the school from New Kingston, and she was so sweaty. After she left, Claudia met the fellow driver back to school, and she waited for Karen at the front gate to make a promise she wouldn't tell nobody. So that is how I saw them coming across the hockey field same time. Listen, I don't want to bias you against Claudia DeMicardo. It's two sides to every story, but the fact remains she's not alive to give you her own. I don't want to get into the why of it. When I ask, I don't get anything straight. All I know is they found her body tied up in a car trunk in Fort Lauderdale with plenty bullet in her head. Rumor had it some people took her hostage and a boyfriend ran away and didn't pay. That was maybe 1988. In conclusion, I would like to say that I apologize for going over time, and I know I maybe didn't do the whole two aspect very well, but I didn't want to push it because I saw that certain details make you cringe. However, if you can allow me one more minute, I'd like to leave you with a bit of advice. Love your children, but don't let them use that love to rule you. Harden your heart when you have to. Put it on. They're strong, you know. You ever see them on a playground yet? Jumping and rolling, all of that? In Jamaica, we say that puss and dog don't have the same luck. I can't tell you what will work for you. but I can testify about what worked for me. Listen, let me tell you something. You think I had any real trouble with Karen after I straightened her out that night? No, sir. You think I had to give her something even close to that again? Not at all. I had to drop a little one slap every now and then, for sure, but nothing big like that. Children have memory, you know, so whenever I got frustrated with her and the arguing and the stubbornness, I used to make it go and go until it reached a certain point. After that, I just say cool and easy, "Karen, I think you're overheating. You need to cool off. Go take a shower now." And after that, let me tell you, she see everything my way.